And we'll bring in Seth Grossman because I know he's got plenty to say about this. This was one of his sticking points. Good morning, Seth. Welcome to the program.
Yes, of course. It's not about me. It's about libertyandprosperity.com. So whatever I don't get to or if I get sidetracked, just go to the website and you'll see all the stuff that our members agree with and that we have our message out in a systematic way. But, of course, you're speaking to the guy, Seth Grossman, when I ran for Congress. And during a debate, somebody said, well, shouldn't we pick somebody who I believe was less qualified because that somebody would bring diversity to the Republican Party? And, of course, I was in a bad mood. I said, well, you know, diversity to hire and promote people is a bunch of crap. It's un-American that people should be hired, promoted, and given scholarships based on their character, their integrity, their hard work, and their achievement. And, of course, for saying that, I got my picture on the front page of the Philadelphia Daily News as a caveman, and I was denounced by all the Republican leaders. But it's just a common sense thing that in America, you don't get picked because of what group you're with. You get picked by who you are and what you do and what your talent and skill is. And the people who are hurt by this more than anybody else are Black Americans who are talented, who did the work, who had the discipline, who have the training and the achievement. And it is personal because growing up in Atlantic City, you know, some of, my biggest role models who really affected my life were Black men and women who had these skills and who succeeded. Because we didn't, they weren't picked because of what group they were in. They were picked because of what they did. And I think of when I was in the National Guard, my first sergeant, Richard Briscoe, a genius who could fix anything, with electric current. He could fix anything, and he ran a first class in the artillery. They called a battery. I mean, we were the service battery of the 5th Battalion 112th Field Artillery, and no, you couldn't have asked for a better commander than him, regardless of race. And the same thing with his brother, Carl Briscoe. Alice Carter, probably one of the best English literature scholars in New Jersey. I was lucky to have her as my high school teacher at Atlantic City High School. Edgar Harris in mathematics, Charles Wilson, doctor on the north side, Glenn Pratt, we used to call them Mr. $50 because he could fix any washing machine, anything, better than any mechanic that I knew. So all these people who succeeded, Black Americans, you didn't even think of them as being Black. You just thought of people who could do their job because they had talent, they had skill, they had discipline. And they had character. They were honest. They did their work, and they didn't try to take advantage of anybody by using their race. So these are the people I think who are hurt the most by these so-called diversity or affirmative action programs. Because now, back then, when you saw a Black American in a position of responsibility, you said, "Boy, this guy really had to have talent to achieve this." Now you see a Black American in a position, you say, well, you have to question yourself, well, did that person get the position because they're qualified, or did they just make a quota and overlook 20 better qualified people to put this person in there? So it's a bad thing, and I just hope Republicans will keep fighting for it, because what happens is when there's a court decision that goes against Republican, the Republicans, okay, we lost the court case, so we won't try this anymore. But the Democrats, when they lose a court case, they just keep fighting and fighting and fighting until they finally somehow, get in through the back door. So, we need some determination by Republicans and by conservatives. We can't just rest on the Supreme Court decision alone.
You think Biden is going to fight this?
Of course he's going to fight it, and every one of their woke colleges are going to fight it. So they'll just keep doing the same thing they've been doing. except they'll use a different name, a different excuse. They'll say, well, you know, we're doing the diversity, we're doing inclusion, we're doing equity. They're going to rig the rules. They'll use all sorts of code. This is what they always do. They will completely defy the decision. And it's going to be, those Americans who believe in merit, achievement, and treating each individual as an individual, the battle is really just beginning. This has been going on with affirmative action. I think the first Supreme Court decision, which was supposed to put an end to this, was called the Bakke decision, Baakaee, in 1978. So that battle is just beginning.
And it sure will continue because already Biden said that he's going to fight this thing. So he's not going to give up. But I commend the Supreme Court on this. I really do.
Especially Clarence Thomas. I mean, he has been fighting for this for a long time, and he understands better than anyone else the detrimental effect, the low expectations, the fact that these white suburban women say, I'm not a racist because I know that these poor black people can't succeed on their own. They need me, the white liberal, to give them a special treatment so they could enjoy a good life. And that is really it's racist and it's disgusting.
I have a question for you, and this is from a listener who frequently listens to the program. When you say that the wind turbines are not going to generate anything, what are you using as, how can I put this? What are you using as your guideline to say that they don't generate any power?
I never said they don't generate any power. I said they don't generate any useful power.
Okay.
And there's a big difference.
Okay.
And the big difference is that if you understand physics, and here I'm a lawyer, I'm not a trained scientist, but there was a time when anyone who got out of the eighth grade knew the basic of science. And the basic of science for an electric grid is you need the same amount of power in the grid at all times. So when you stick your 110-volt microwave, you put the plug into the socket, that grid has to have 110 volts. If it has more than that or less than that, it's going to either not work or blow up your microwave. So you need steady, reliable, consistent power. Now, would you say that the wind provides steady, reliable, consistent power?
No.
And the answer is no, it does not. Sometimes it blows fast, sometimes it blows slow, sometimes it doesn't blow at all. So what happens is when you have a grid where the source is completely unreliable, and I bored everybody a couple of weeks ago when I talked about that physics thing, that electric power produced by wind increases and decreases exponentially. Now, you talk to somebody under the age of 40, they don't even know what the word exponentially means. But what it means to the rest of us who grew up in the Sputnik era, as boomers, it means that you would think that if the wind is blowing at 20 miles an hour and then it drops down to 10 miles an hour, you think you'd have half the power coming from that wind turbine because the wind speed cut in half. But the change is exponential, which means it's a half times a half by a half. Which means if the wind cuts in half, you only have 12% of the power you had before. So if the wind is constantly changing, how do you keep consistent power in the grid? Well, you have to crank up fossil fuel generators to make up the difference, except for one thing. You just can't crank up a fossil fuel. You can't just crank up gas, oil, or coal just in an instant. It takes several minutes or several, even sometimes several hours to get the thing hot enough to produce the electricity. So what does that mean? You have to have all this stuff burning in the background when it's not needed. So if you have all this fossil fuel burning in the background when it's not needed, what do you need the wind turbines in the first place? And then if suddenly the wind goes faster than expected, what happens to the extra energy? You see, you can't store any of that energy. We don't have batteries big enough to back up the electric grid. first of all, it's probably not possible. But second, even if it was possible, you need all that expensive and toxic lithium and all these exotic chemicals to make a battery big enough. So what happens when you have too much energy from the wind, they just have to dump it, because if they didn't dump it, it would just fry or burn up the electric grid. So the part about it's not that the wind turbines don't produce any power. It's either they produce too much power that has to be dumped, or not enough power, so you always have to have fossil fuel burning in a distance. And I've been saying over and over again, why not have an experiment to prove it? You've had those five wind turbines in Atlantic City since 2006. They have not done a single, and they say, oh, they power, these wind turbines can power 2,000 homes. Oh, yeah? Well, why not prove they could power a single home? Why not wire those wind turbines up to the, the science building at Stockton University, and try to run the dormitories or run buildings at Stockton using that wind power, so you can measure how much of the wind power is wasted, so you can measure how much fossil fuel has to be burned to back them up. But they don't do that. In fact, they won't let you know anything that's produced. All they tell you is, these wind turbines are saving money for the Atlantic County Utilities Authority because the government writes a check every time the wind turbines turn. Well, where's that check coming from? It's not coming from money being produced by the wind. It's being paid for by increasing the rates of the other 98% of customers. So, they're not honest with us. They don't have any laboratories. Anywhere else, they'd have experiments. In the medical field, they call them clinical trials. We have not had a single clinical trial for any of these wind turbines or any of these solar powers panels to show whether they save anything or produce anything that's useful. And until they do, I think I have very good reason, even though I'm not a scientist, to say, there's no evidence that these things work.
So it's not consistent, really, is what the bottom line is here. They're not consistent.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And the proof of it is that the Atlantic City Electric is going around handing out these smart meters so that, see, it doesn't really matter right now. The wind turbines, the solar panels, they're toys because they only provide maybe 4%, 5%, 6% of the power. So if they fluctuate, if they come and go, it doesn't matter because 95% of our power is coming from the coal plants, the oil plants, the natural gas plants, and most of all, the nuclear plant at Salem. But if you keep blowing up power plants like we did at Beasley's Point, so that you have 20, 30, 40% of our power is coming from these wind turbines that come and go, we're going to have these power shortages. And the proof of it is that's why, Atlantic City Electric is handing out those smart meters. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, from now on, you better turn on your washing machine at 8 o'clock at night. And if you don't, if we catch you doing your washing machine at 4 in the afternoon, we're going to cut off the power to your house until you get in compliance. If we tell you don't plug in your electric car until it's a Tuesday or a Thursday, and you plug in your electric car on a Monday, they're going to know about it and say, we're going to shut off your power because you're not compliant. And then, of course, if they have to make a decision, the wind's not blowing, the grid's about to crash, they're just going to push a button and turn off the electricity in 5,000, 10,000 homes at a time. So they're going to choose who gets cut off, who doesn't get cut off. And it's not like this is a secret. They're open about all this.
Jeez. It's scary. It's scary, yeah.
It is scary. All right, can I just fit in a couple of more points?
I got you sidetracked.
the Supreme Court decision on these student loans, I really think took the discussion off the main issue. And the main issue is, how did college get to be so expensive and so unaffordable in the first place?
Yes.
Because you and I are old enough to know that when we went to college in the early 1970s, any student could do any job on the boardwalk, any restaurant or farm in the state, and end up with $1,200 by the end of the summer.
Yes.
And that was more than enough for room, board, and tuition at Stockton, Rutgers, Rowan at Glassboro, or any state school. And there was still plenty of money left for seven beers for a dollar at the Anchorage or Summers Point or Maloney's in Margate or the Bluebird in Atlantic City.
My college tuition was $800 for the year.
So you basically had about $300 or $400 for the summer to enjoy the summer.
Right.
Now, I'd say tops a student could earn $5,000 in the summer. You know, so the students are earning five times as much. But all these state schools are charging more than $20,000 for tuition board and tuition. So you need a $15,000 a year loan at least to make up the difference. So why is it that college went up 400% more than the earnings of your average student? And that's the thing that no one talks about. And, of course, the reason they do it is because they really trick these kids into signing up for these loans, thinking they're going to be making more money when they get out of college to justify it, but it's just not true. It's a scam. And I, in a way, I feel for the students, because when you're 18, 19 years old and somebody says, oh, sign up for this loan because when you get out of college, you're going to pay for those loans with your great earnings you're going to get as a big executive somewhere. So if anything, I think Ron DeSantis had the right idea. He said the best way to fix this thing is let's have the schools, if you're going to give forgiveness, let's take the money out of the federal aid to these colleges that gave these stupid loans in the first place.
That's right.
And that'll teach them not to loan money to students who can't possibly pay them back.
That's right.
And what you have with the colleges, you have the same thing with the mortgage companies, you have the same thing in medical care. Whenever the government gives money to any industry, whether it's housing, healthcare, or college, it takes away the incentive to control costs, and so everybody's always spending somebody else's money, and that's the heart of the crisis. So no one wants to hurt the students, but we have this problem that is not sustainable, and I'm hoping this decision will force us to hold the people who are causing the mess to be accountable, and that's your Stockton University, and that's your Rutgers, that's your Rowan. That's all these big Ivy League schools. So we've got to put the focus there.
Okay.
And then, of course, that left just 2 minutes to talk what I really want to talk about. But with the ocean wind turbines, yesterday there was really good, bad, and ugly as to what happened with the wind turbines. What happened yesterday is that the New Jersey State Senate voted 21-16. A majority is 20. So by just one vote, the state Senate agreed to give Ørsted wind turbines certain tax credits it was not entitled to give them more money for the projects. All 15 Republicans that voted against it in the assembly, where you needed 40 votes to pass, it was 44 Democrats, voted for the extra gift to Ørsted. All 31 Republicans voted against that. Now, that is, even though it's bad, there's a silver lining, because the vote was so close that even the Washington Post noted that the whole wind turbine project is in trouble, because all the Republicans have to do now is hold firm and identify the handful of Democrats who pushed this thing over the top. If the Republicans in New Jersey can defeat just five or six of those Democrats who voted for the wind turbines, there's a chance that they could bring the whole project to a stop within 6 months. So I'm looking at that, and I think I can't praise the opponents of the wind turbines enough. Protect Our Coast and Ocean City, Defend Brigantine Beach, Save LBI, Vince Sarah Brigantine, Vince Palestina, Michael Testa. I know I'm forgetting a bunch of people, but they did a heroic job, and we've got to keep the pressure on. The wind turbine postcards that explain all this are still available at our Summers Point office. Go to our website, pick up the cards, hand out the cards to everybody that you know. The one thing that was disappointing was the Atlantic County commissioners. You have seven Republicans, and you have, I believe, you and two Democrats. that all they had was one job. All they had to do was pass a simple resolution to say, we want a moratorium on these wind turbines to back up what the Republicans did in Trenton, to back up Jeff Van Drew. And all they did was they just dithered in the headline. Instead of taking the headline saying Atlantic leaders seek moratorium on wind turbines, the headline is Atlantic leaders seek wind delay but not moratorium. I don't know what they were thinking. I have friends on the Freeholder board. We have John Risley, Drew Parker, Frank Ballish, Jim Bartino, Richard Days, Amy Gatto, Maureen Kern, why they couldn't approve a simple resolution demanding a moratorium on wind turbines to be just like what Cape May County did, just what Brigantine did, just like what LBI did. Why they couldn't do it is beyond me, but we've got to expect more from them. So that's my final point on that.
Okay.
LibertyandProsperity.com, and of course, now I'm late for the meeting that takes place every Saturday at Summers Point from 9:30 to 10:30 every Saturday morning at Sal's Cafe. Thank you very much, and have a great week.
Thank you. Happy 4th. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity. LibertyandProsperity.com is the website. It is Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG.